760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey, but truly, you bring that joy back to us exponentially. I'm joined by some very holy people.
We are.
And me.
And Dave.
Well, we sure do love the Lord.
We do, and I know Allison's been working hard at a prayer over there that she's got for us.
Oh, Josh. Well, you know what? There's been some challenging times yesterday,
yeah,
right, with the shooting. So I want to definitely lift up a prayer for us for understanding during challenging times, because I think it's an important one definitely today.
Absolutely.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the midst of challenges and uncertainty, grant us hearts that seek your wisdom and understanding. When we cannot see the way forward, remind us of your promise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. That's Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Lord, help us to rest in your love, to listen to your voice, and to find peace in knowing that you are with us, guiding each step of the journey. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
That was a beautiful prayer, Allison.
Mm-hmm.
And, typically we're all about having fun and laughing on our show, especially in the opening, but I think we should pause and reflect and send our prayers to those who were tragically affected by this school shooting. And for those who don't know, I have just a few bullets here. I mean, in the morning of August 27th, a mass shooting occurred at Annunciation Catholic School in Minneapolis during a school-wide mass, marking the first week back. And two children, 8 and 10, were killed, and a total 17 were injured. Primarily children, 14, were injured, and three elderly parishioners. The shooter's been identified as a 23-year-old Robin Westman, who died by suicide at the scene. And authorities say he carried out the attack alone. And so how do you respond to that? There's certain scriptures that really address this. We have Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Mm-hmm. And I think about what Christ said. You know, in this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. That's John 16:33. I mean, Bishop Barron, I love how he phrases this all the time, really referring to St. Augustine, actually, who is, it's his feast day today, right?
Yes.
And Augustine said, God would never permit evil if he cannot bring good out of evil.
Mm.
And a greater good, by the way. We don't know this side of eternity, and I know that's not going to patch the ache for those who are affected by this, but we serve a God who, if we just look at the symbol of our faith itself, the crucifix, it encapsulates the greatest tragedy to happen to mankind when God himself was crucified. So our Lord did not hide from tragedy. He embraced it and created resurrection out of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know. For me, when I hear stories like this, and Allison, you can relate, being a mom.
Oh, yeah.
You worry about your kids. Odds are they're going to be safe and everything, but
yeah, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. And I think, and I think more than ever, we need to tell our children, our loved ones, we love you. We don't know. We don't know when it's our time.
Right.
We really don't. I mean, I seriously think to myself, oh, we're gonna be old and gray, oh, my kids are gonna be grown. No, we don't know that.
No.
So we need to be living now, like today might be the last day. But I did get a text message from the head of our PSR, religious education, and he spoke about this and just wanted to reiterate to all the parents of kids in Sunday school that we take everything seriously here at church and Sunday school. So it's nice to know that when people see tragedies like this happen, they reach out to their flock, right, and let them know, we hear you, we see this, and we're doing everything we can to keep everybody safe. But you think about it, at Mass, I mean, the safest place, right, with Christ, and you just never know.
Mm-hmm. Archbishop Bernard Habda, he's from the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, He was grateful to Pope Leo XIV, who sent his condolences after the attack, and he was thankful to everybody around the world who's offered prayers after the shooting.
Yeah, and I was at Mass just before coming to the station today, and Monsignor Rao from St. Peter Chanel actually, for his homily, read a correspondence that he was sent, a letter from a rabbi at a neighboring synagogue down the road, and essentially, he was just basically saying, you know, we're with you, we're here for you. And one thing in the letter, though, and I'm going to paraphrase because I might not get this perfect, but essentially, apparently it sounds like the guy who perpetrated this also didn't like Jewish people as well. And he basically was saying if hatred could cross such boundaries, essentially love can go so much farther. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Cling to the truth that as much hurt as hate can do, love can do infinitely more good. Anyway, we just need to send our prayers to those affected and trust in God's mercy.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Just ahead on the Morning Quest,
Dr. Jerry Crete explores the spiritual and psychological insights we can draw from St. Augustine's Confessions. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Augustine, bishop and doctor of the church. Father Rivak, pastor at St. Mary Magdalene in Noonan, Georgia, unpacks today's gospel reading. But next, Immaculée will be talking about her upcoming retreat, Prayer Works Miracles, taking place September 12th at Heritage Retreat Center.
Mostly cloudy today with a high near 83. It's 61 at 8:07.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
We are joined by Immaculée discussing her upcoming retreat, Prayer Works Miracles, taking place September 12th at Heritage Retreat Center. We're so glad to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Happy to be with you, too.
Oh, this is a treat. And you know, Immaculée, many listeners may know you as a survivor of the Rwandan genocide, but not all may know how prayer sustained you. So could you take us back to that 3x4 bathroom and share what your prayer life looked like during those 92 days in hiding?
Oh, thank you so much. You know, actually, when I wrote my book, Left to Tell, about my experience during the genocide in that bathroom, you know, 3x4 feet, as you said, the one thing was burning in my heart was to tell people about the power of prayer. I was so surprised how God can be so present in a terrible situation. And that really, it gave me a chance to be able to tell everybody, as long as you can hold on to God, there is hope. Hope for your own feelings inside, hope for the promises of prayer, you know, that things will turn out to be a blessing.
Yeah.
Hope to be happy inside. Because you prayed. You know, I never thought in my life I can lose my whole family and still be okay.
Yeah.
I remember I used to dream about my mom dying and I would be sick for like a month, crying and shaking just by a dream. And then I went through a terrible, terrible time when I felt I couldn't even smile. I did not remember how to smile when I was in that bathroom the first week, the first 2 weeks. And then when I started to pray, I was like a different person. I was able to see hope. Like, even if we die, so what? There is heaven. It doesn't end here. There was nothing that can ever stop me from being happy. But when I wasn't praying, I can see all the doom. There is no reason to live.
Yeah.
There is nothing happy in this world. I just wish I can give back. I can revenge. The bad guys win. And then when I was praying, everything will shift. And I would think of the people who are doing bad, they are risking not only not to take their own consciences, but they are risking hell forever to lose their salvation. So I really saw prayer changing my view and yet being reasonable. Nothing was like, oh, now I forgot this, what it feels like. It was just more like, this makes more sense. Everybody will die in the end. Why am I making it like, there's no way to live, no reason to live. I just want to do my part in this world as long as I live.
Wow.
So I can, thank you. So I can take you back. This is how I prayed. I grew up in a family that prayed a lot. I mean, it's not even a lot, consistently. I don't remember my family, we ever went to sleep without praying together.
Oh.
And we had like 10, 15 Catholic prayers. Pray for our enemies, pray for the sick, pray for the church, you know, act of contrition, pray for those who are in problems. It was just like a prayer that really that taught about everybody. But those are the prayers we have in the Catholic Church.
Yes.
To consecrate ourselves to the Immaculate Heart, to the Sacred Heart of our Lord. And that's what I grew up with. However, I always felt this prayer was just my parents. And I had to be a part of that. But I never knew how these prayers and this habit would come to help me when I was in the bathroom. Now, when I was hiding for my life. This is when now I have to look back. I'm like, okay, what did we say before?
That is so beautiful hearing that. Wow. You were prepared. I mean, and that is so beautiful as a mom, Immaculate, because you were prepared as a child with these prayers that would sustain you when you were in that situation. You knew exactly what to do in that case. You knew the prayers. You knew how to pray and to glorify God and pray.
Yeah, and I think about your story, Immaculate, and I wonder, it's, a lot of people struggle with forgiveness, right? And one of your the powerful elements of your story is the ability to forgive those who caused you such harm. I mean, that is a real grace from God. So for those who are struggling to forgive, what words of encouragement would you share with them?
First of all, I felt like a prayer. I mean, forgiveness came as a result of praying, of trying to understand who God is. Because sometimes you are in a situation where forgiveness does not make sense.
Mm-hmm.
How can you forgive somebody who have killed your mother, your father, your brother, your grandparents?
Yeah.
In a human capacity to think, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But when you start, one thing I tell people always is like, please, just will to even let go. And you will discover what forgiveness is when that happens, when it comes through. Because I used to think, when they tell us to forgive, we think like, okay, so you're telling me to go embrace somebody who just abused me?
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me that it's okay to eat with somebody who just killed my parents? Like, there is almost like a false expression of what forgiveness is when we're angry.
Yeah.
And I mean, I believe in God. I believe also the devil is real.
Yeah.
There is this image he puts in your mind that forgiving is condoning the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiving is accepting it's okay. But when I was to even consider forgiveness, it was through prayer, reading the Bible, praying the rosary. And any time I will say, forgive us as we forgive, or I'm reading the Bible, how many times to forgive? 70 times.
Mm-hmm.
I started to fight with God. Fighting with God. What do you mean? Don't you see what they're doing to us? But the more I was angry, the more I was bitter. The more I was bitter, the more I had a headache.
Yeah.
The more I had a headache, the more my whole body was aching. And I wanted a way out. And how can you be happy? Let go of the anger. The anger is a poison you're holding in your heart. How do I let go of the anger?
Yeah.
And so this is what I was asking God. And I felt like God definitely that was a condition he was giving me. But I couldn't lie to him. So help me out. So to forgive for me, it became first trying to appeal to God, questioning him, why, how, and then with that, there's a time I literally remember going on my knees and I begged God, okay, fine. If you know how to forgive, help me out.
Mm.
Help me to forgive. I don't want to lie to you. And with that, for those who are Christians, for those who, you know, I would suggest to them, please pray for forgiveness. As much as you pray for to find a good job, you pray for healing. Pray that this anger can get out of your heart. And if that happens, you will know when that happens. I truly believe it is a grace that is available for everybody. God will never refuse somebody who is praying to forgive.
No, amen to that.
When that no way. He asks us to forgive. So there is a piece of it, his willingness to let go, to even trying to understand, but it's also the grace of God. Because sometimes things are so hard that you don't, how can you be? And then, unforgiveness is always paired with hurt. So there is a healing that needs to the heart to be able to forgive, and that's the grace of God.
Wow.
I can tell everybody, if you have heard the story of Mandela, the man who spent 27 years in prison, and comes out saying, let's forgive, let's reconcile,
Yeah.
Wow. Let's reconcile. If you can only learn from people forgiven, at least try to understand their story. Because right now, when you are angry, you are blinded. You can't see through. But through the Bible, prayer, reading the story to people who were there, who were angry just like you, there is a way out.
Wow.
You get to understand. Yeah.
No, Immaculate, that's beautiful. And you have a retreat coming up at Heritage, and it's titled Prayer Works Miracles. And man, I'm like just listening to you now, all of the situations and how you truly learned that through those prayers, it brought you peace. That's going to be an absolutely amazing retreat. So where can listeners go to get more information about this wonderful retreat at the Sheraton, the beautiful Heritage in Sharon, Georgia?
Yes, you can go to my website, immaculate.com, under retreats, and then to Heritage also they have a link on their website where I'm going to be there, of course, but you can also go to our website, immaculate.com.
And that's so great, and I know that you can stay overnight, or there's a Saturday package, too, where you can just be there for Saturday. But wow, what a witness you are, Immaculate. Yeah. You have been through so much, and you are glorifying the Lord and so on fire with the Holy Spirit. Okay. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, thank you so much, Immaculate.
And you know,
go ahead.
I have seen people who were considering suicide, and they came to our retreat, and they were like, you know what? There is a reason to live.
Ah.
So I really would encourage everybody to come. I had a kid who told me, I was about to have an abortion, but I think I can do this, and I would be happy. And, of course, she kept writing to me like, it was the best decision I ever took. So that is hope through my retreat.
Amen. And again, it's September 12th through the 14th. And you, again, I'm going to have the link on our show notes as well. Or you can do the Saturday only to be in person and to hear Immaculate talk about how prayer works miracles. Thank you again so much, Immaculate, for sharing this with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Dr. Jerry Crete explores the spiritual and psychological insights we can draw from St. Augustine's Confessions. Remember our memory verse, in all your ways be mindful of him and he will make your path straight. That's Proverbs 3:6. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Augustine, bishop and doctor of the church. But next, Father Michael Rivak, pastor at St. Mary Magdalene in Noonan, Georgia, will be unpacking today's gospel reading.
But for now, let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Father Rivak, pastor at St. Mary Magdalene in Noonan, is back, and he is going to be diving into today's gospel. Welcome back, Father.
How are things rocking and rolling now that you're captaining the ship at St. Mary Magdalene's?
Things are great at St. Mary Magdalene. Father Terry Crone did such a wonderful job here, handed a great, healthy, happy, holy parish off to me, and I'm looking forward to continuing that work.
Here you're going to be reflecting on today's gospel for us.
Indeed. So we'll start there. It's going to be out of Matthew chapter 24. Jesus said to his disciples, "Stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this: if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. Who then is the faithful and prudent servant whom the master has put in charge of his household to distribute to them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds him doing so. Amen, I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his property. But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is long delayed,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards, the servant's master will come at an unexpected day and at an unexpected hour and will punish him severely and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." That's the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ.
So we got some wailing and grinding of teeth in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good bedtime story.
Okay, little kids, don't mess up or you'll get some wailing and grinding of teeth.
Yeah.
This is a really simple warning that the Lord gives. As long as Christians recognize that this life is really about life and death, and it's not just eat, drink, and be merry, but that each day is an opportunity to make a choice for life or death. And this warning really isn't a scary one. Every day the Lord has a will for us, and we wake up in the morning and we say, "Lord, I want to do your will, and I'm not sure if I'm going to do it great, But I'm going to give it a go. And at the end of the day, I'll check in with you and see how well I did and say sorry for anything that I got wrong. You know, and if we live our lives that way, that this warning really isn't going to be a problem, because basically what the Lord is saying here is, hey, do your thing and then you won't have to worry. If I come around the corner and you're doing your thing and your thing's good, then what do you have to worry about?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, like, you know, coaches will always tell kids in sports, you know, character is what you do when nobody's looking. Yeah. Well, that's really true here with the Lord saying, if you have a sacramental, grace-filled, loving character, you don't have to worry about when you're going to die, because you're living your life the way that I'm pleased and proud of you, and we're friends. So don't worry, you know. There's an anecdote. I can't remember what saint said this. I usually, when I can't remember what saint said this, I usually go with St. Augustine, whose feast day is today.
Yeah.
But I definitely know it wasn't St. Augustine. I think it might have been like one of the monastic saints. But he's playing a game of chess, or some facsimile of chess, you know, in the medieval ages. And one of the brothers says to him, you know, if you knew you were going to die in 10 minutes, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I'd finish my game of chess, you know. So sort of nonplussed, just I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing right now in my leisure, in my work, in my charity and works of mercy, in my family. I'm doing what pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord for a Christian to go shopping to get food for their family.
Yeah.
Which means when you're in the grocery store picking up dish detergent, that's pleasing to the Lord. You don't have to be out like Mother Teresa dodging mortar rounds to rescue orphans. Buy the 12-pack of chicken tenders, you know, for your family that night. That's pleasing to the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that what you have accentuated, Father, is really an antidote for discouragement. How many people in their daily lives get caught in this comparison trap of these super penitential saints, which said yes to God's call, but that was God's call for their life, to just embrace the holiness in the ordinary. And that's what you were talking about when you were quoting the saint. By the way, I looked up the quote that you just beautifully shared. I believe it's attributed to Saint Aloysius Gonzaga.
Man, get out.
That's what it says. Goes to
Aloysius Gonzaga.
That's
cool. Okay, great.
Yeah, look at you. You're like a...
Now I know.
You're an encyclopedia. I mean, you got like some... What a gift. You definitely shine the light on, I would say, like a less spotlighted saint here. So that's... big props to you, Father.
So Saint Aloysius Gonzaga. That's great. It's good to know that, because I've told that story more than once, and I usually attribute it... Well, I mean, obviously, I've always attributed it wrongly. So at least now I'll know. But it does make the point, you know, and you talked about discouragement. And I love to hear... not that people are discouraged, but I love to hear the encouragement that people get out of this sort of transformation of their understanding of spiritual life to a friendship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need to be afraid of like a God with a calculator who's like looking for us to mess up, but a God who wants to be our friend, who says, hey man, you're living your life the way I want you to. This is great. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of death.
Yeah.
And that's what you're sharing here too, I think, is the big misconception that, let's say, non-Catholics might have about how we view salvation in this scripture. It's like God's kind of looking at our lives like an umpire, essentially waiting to say, you're out. Just trying to fine tune the strike zone. But what you shared is, if you are in that sacramental rhythm and saying yes to God, I mean, he is pulling you to the finish line. It's again,
100%.
Yeah.
He wants you to be there. He wants so much, like every parent wants to be able to look at their kids and say, I love you and I'm so proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
And as parents, for most of you who are listening to this, consider how badly your kids can screw up and you still look at them and say, I love you and I'm proud of you.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? Man, if you can do that for your kids who are probably actually screw up, I mean, imagine how much more our Heavenly Father can look at you and say, I love you and I'm proud of you. And, you know, We're not gonna worry too much about these mess ups as long as you're sorry for them.
Well, and I love hearing that, Father, because truly, it's so easy to slip here and there. You know, even being a parent, maybe getting frustrated with the kids more than I should, right, and not say great job more often. It's so nice to know that we can always apologize and start over. You know, and praise God for the gift of reconciliation.
Yes,
you know,
I think that's the takeaway.
Is that the takeaway, Father?
Yeah, Allison, that's the takeaway. Allison always wants me to give a takeaway.
I love it because we just want to take it and run.
Well, I talk too much. I talk too much, and she's like, Father, okay, come on, wrap it up. Give me a takeaway.
Not at all, Father.
But folks, just know that she's looking out for you, and in the weirdness of my musing, she's like, okay, Father, bring it in. Let's give these people something to take home. So, yeah, I would say the Lord considers you part of his household. He has a job for you to do, and he's inviting you to do it. And in doing that job with him, he is looking for every opportunity to smile upon you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's joy.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Rivak, pastor of St. Mary Magdalene. We are so grateful for another fantastic reflection.
Glad to be here.
It is 8:29, and we always try to bring you good news, but today is...
We need to be praying.
Absolutely. Praying. Today, we just can't, because after two children were killed and 17 others were injured in Wednesday's tragic shooting at Annunciation Catholic School in Minneapolis, our hearts and prayers are with those affected by this terrible tragedy. Here in Atlanta, Archbishop Gregory J. Hartmeyer, who also chairs the board of National Catholic Education, called the murders at Mass unspeakable. The Archbishop urged lawmakers to act on reasonable gun legislation, saying schools cannot be turned into fortresses and communities must do more to protect children and families. He also assured Atlanta Catholics that safety in local Catholic schools remains a top priority, with emergency plans reviewed regularly alongside state and local agencies.
Later on the Morning Quest.
Closing us out strong, Dr. Jerry Crete explores the spiritual and psychological insights we can draw from St. Augustine's Confessions. Remember our memory verse, everybody. In all your ways, be mindful of him, and he will keep your path straight. That's Proverbs 3:6. But next, our buddy Chet Kirshner helps us get acquainted with St. Augustine, Bishop and Doctor of the Church.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey
with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It is 8:32.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. You know, we sprint to the August finish line like a thoroughbred in the Catholic Church. We finish the month in the most powerful way, what with St. Bartholomew the Apostle, whose feast day was August 24th. Mm-hmm. Fell on a Sunday this year, so we did not celebrate him by way of the Mass. Sunday is, of course, the Lord's Day. But we did discuss him this past Tuesday.
Yeah.
We had St. Louis on the 25th, the great Christian king, who we did not get a chance to talk about this month. I felt bad about that, but I'm going to see if we can work him into these early days of September, which are, of course, right around the corner. He is certainly a favorite of mine, and I think our listeners would be amazed by his story. And then yesterday, St. Monica, who was the mother of today's saint, the legendary bishop and doctor of our church, St. Augustine of Hippo.
Yes.
So appropriate that these two would appear next to each other on the liturgical calendar and thus be celebrated on back-to-back days. So where does one even begin when discussing a man the likes of St. Augustine?
I know.
How about with one of his many prolific quotes? And I know, Allison, you have a number of his quotes in front of you, and we're going to delve into those later. But there's one in particular that you have at your fingertips, which I thought was very interesting.
It is. It's, to fall in love with God is the greatest romance, to seek him the greatest adventure, to find him the greatest human achievement. And that is so true. It really is. I mean, living a life for Christ is an adventure.
It is, as you and Josh know.
Absolutely, we
really
know.
Day by day, the trials and tribulations maybe of putting on a show, but the excitement of it and the feeling of joy and fulfillment when it's completed, or when you're doing it.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
But you know, having said all that, that beautiful and poignant sentiment didn't always accurately reflect the spiritual sentiments of this great now bishop and doctor of the church. He was also known to have said, Lord, make me chaste, holy, and celibate, but not just yet.
Yeah.
And that speaks to the fact that he did live the life of a carousing pagan, and he would in fact go on to have a child of his own out of wedlock at the age of 18. For Augustine, sin and the inclination towards sin was second nature. His first insight into the essence of sin occurred when he and a number of his friends stole some fruit from a neighborhood garden. And he tells this story in his autobiography, The Confessions, which I'm sure a number of our listeners are familiar with. Mm-hmm. If not, it's a fascinating read. But in this, he remembers that he did not steal the fruit because he was hungry, but because it was not permitted.
Oh.
And in that respect, we can all relate to Augustine. The word is concupiscence, and we are all prone to it. And concupiscence, for those who don't know, perhaps our non-Catholic listeners, I'm not sure if this comes up outside of our church as much, but it is simply our human proclivity towards sin and evil due in large part to our fallen nature. Like rebellious children who want to go their own way, we're all turned away from God countless times in our lives. We just have. And even as we do, God keeps right on loving us and keeps his promises and keeps forgiving, for he knows no other way. A little biographical information on St. Augustine. Aurelius Augustine was born in the year 354 at Tagaste, which is in Algeria. He was the son of Patriclius, a non-believer, and his devout Catholic wife, the aforementioned St. Monica.
Yeah.
As many of our listeners know, Monica did go on to, in fact, achieve sainthood in her own right. And we actually, as mentioned, talked about her yesterday. In his early years, Augustine possessed a very inquisitive mind. He set his sights on a career that would bring him both wealth and fame. His parents heartily endorsed their son's career and wanted to provide him with an education, the best one that they could, and he first served as a teacher in his native town and later became a teacher in Rome and Milan. Very smart man who was inspired to share what he knew. He traveled from city to city and encountered many opportunities and challenges along the way. He was also on a deep spiritual journey of his own, searching for inner peace and lasting happiness. The example, the prayers, and the influence of his mother, Monica, played a role in that spiritual journey, and Augustine would convert to the Catholic faith. At the age of 33, he was baptized by Bishop Ambrose of Milan.
Oh, wow.
And if that name sounds familiar, that would be his future spiritual confidant, mentor, and saint, Ambrose, who we celebrate on the 7th of December. He also made a commitment to spend the remainder of his life as a servant of God, agreeing to live a life of celibacy. And this was a challenge for him because he battled lust throughout his entire life, really. And I think with the proliferation and ease for which pornography can be had in our world today, I think a lot of people, perhaps some of our listeners, can relate to this.
It's
an ongoing battle. It's always right in front of us, and the temptation is always there. You know, and he did make this decision despite the fact he had spent several years living with a woman whom he deeply loved. And that was the woman he did father a son by, a boy named Adeodatus. And after Augustine's baptism, he and his son and his friend Alpius sent out for his native town. They sought a monastic style of life together with other men who experienced a radical conversion to faith in their own right. On the journey, just outside of Rome, Monica did become ill. She died suddenly, but happily. As she had witnessed Augustine's commitment to Christ and the church. After 3 years, Augustine was called to become a priest. And while on a visit to the city of Hippo, which is about 50 miles from Tagaste, contrary to what Augustine might have chosen for himself, but he chose to accept what he believed was God's will for him. The priest will always tell you, you really don't choose the priesthood. The priesthood chooses you. In Hippo, Augustine established a monastic community that he directed while assisting the bishop, Valerius. And several years later, it was Augustine who would succeed Valerius as head of the diocese. And, you know, as bishop, Augustine founded his desired life of contemplation and separation from worldly concerns. He focused on his many obligations as leader of the local church, as a civil official, and in addition to his pastoral duties within Hippo, he did travel to church councils in the region of Northern Africa. He did so about 40 to 50 times over the course of the 35 years he served as bishop. Augustine even made the 9-day journey to Carthage for meetings with other bishops about 30 times.
Wow.
So a real globetrotter here. His extensive travels were physically demanding, but they may be considered modest when they are compared to his writings and sermons. Over the course of his lifetime, he wrote over 200 books. You heard that right.
Wow.
And nearly 1,000 sermons, letters, and other works. In the year 430, he fell ill. He took to his bed and spent his days and nights praying the penitential psalms.
Oh.
and he asked to have them written on the wall of his room. He would die on August the 28th as vandals invaded Hippo. Following his death, his body was laid to rest in Hippo and later taken to Sardinia and moved to Pavia, Italy, where it now rests in the Basilica of San Pietro in Sel d'Oro.
Oh.
So there you have, as best we can in an 8-minute segment.
I know.
Here, I'd love to hear some of your thoughts, maybe a few more quotes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is a beautiful one. Pray as though everything depended on God. Work as though everything depended on you. And truly, I mean, whatever we're doing in life, what a prayer, asking God to guide us where he wants us to be. I mean, the importance of prayer is so, so important. And also another beautiful one. Since love grows within you, so beauty grows. For love is the beauty of the soul. They're just beautiful.
It's very deep and rich.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
you could take the Confessions or any one of his 200 books into Eucharistic adoration. For those of you who like to read in adoration, some just like to go in and pray or just sit before the sacrament and listen for Jesus. I think we should, if we're going to do a holy hour, I think a good portion of that time should be spent in silence.
Absolutely. But, here I am, Lord. Speak to me, guide me. And it is, when you're quiet, there's such a peace that comes upon you. And sometimes it takes a little bit. If you've got a lot going on, just going in there and just being still. I just love saying, here I am, Lord. And just listen, right? And just be quiet.
Yep. You know, and Augustine, again, just a comeback story for the ages. He certainly took the scenic route to sainthood, as I like to say.
Yes.
Along the way, he stumbled and fell, particularly in his youth, addicted to lust, children out of wedlock. But it just goes to show, it's not how you start in God's kingdom, it's how you finish.
Absolutely.
And, you know, to have the prayers of his mother. And I know, you know, we talked about this a lot yesterday. For those who are struggling because your children are struggling, you keep praying. You keep being that example. And we trust Jesus when he says they are his sheep. They will hear his voice. And eventually, they'll come back to the church. We just have to trust that.
Absolutely.
While doing all the right things along the way.
And of course,
to have St. Ambrose as a spiritual confidant, his mentor. Wow.
So patron saint of converts to Christianity, printers and theologians. So great, great patron saint. And I would even say when it comes to converts,
absolutely. He was one of the most famous converts.
Yeah.
As a result of the dramatic turn in his life, but also just because of what he went on to accomplish. You just never know. Like RCI AI sponsors who are listening, you know, you just never know. You may be counseling the next priest. You may be counseling the next great religious, but even if not, you're bringing people to Christ.
Yep.
St. Augustine of Hippo.
Pray for us.
The Morning Quest continues to find joy in the journey. On AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:42. Dave's in the room. What's up, Dave?
Well, I really, on this Catholic station, I hate to talk politics, but I think sometimes you need to, especially when it has to do with, like, with the family. You know, we're all about families and the family unit and everything.
Yeah.
And so I think that we need to do this. Marco Rubio was talking to President Trump the other day. And go ahead and play that, Allison.
I wasn't even going to raise it. I didn't even talk to you about this. It's a little controversial, but I think I need to bring it up at this time of year. This thing about people getting married on Saturdays during college football season is a scourge, Mr. President. It's dividing families. Now, I don't know if we can have an executive order on this. It's insane. But it's really difficult. There's, you know, 7 other months of the year that people can get married, so I just wanted to say that. It's very, very difficult.
I think in the Southeast, in the SEC area, that kind of hits home.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and you said it hits home for you.
Well,
I was
it
like,
does.
You got to bring that in.
Well, we got married in October up in Michigan in Lansing. And so Michigan State football is very big in Lansing. Well, we had to plan our, we said, okay, it's every other Saturday because we're not going to have it during a home game because people might not show up to our wedding.
Well, can you imagine then if somebody does show up and they're like a diehard fan and it's like, does anyone here have any objections to this couple getting married? And they're like listening on the earbud, they score a touchdown, like, yeah!
Oh my gosh.
Or what if like your quarterback got sacked right at the moment, you know, I now pronounce you husband and wife. Oh no!
And I'm like, I can't believe people truly would think that football is more important than marriage.
Well, I get what you're saying, and I understand that, but I guess you got to understand the football fan. And what I used to DJ wedding receptions.
Yeah.
And this was back in the 80s before the internet
DJ
or anything.
Dave.
And one guy, they had their wedding on the big, I forget if it was like Michigan, Michigan State, one of the big games.
Whoa.
Or Michigan, Ohio State, one of those games.
Yeah, see, I don't think that's why.
Well, so some guy brought in a portable TV set and they set it up and all the guys were gathered around that TV watching it instead of being at the reception.
And I'm like, and what were the girls doing?
Yeah, well, the bride was not happy.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
So anyway, I just thought we'd talk politics just a little bit here today.
Well, thanks, Dave.
Coming up on The Morning Quest.
Jerry Crete explores the spiritual and psychological insights we can draw from St. Augustine's Confessions.
We're with Dr. Jerry Crete, founder of Transfiguration Counseling, to talk about his monthly series of spiritually and psychologically nourishing writings called The Kingdom Within, available on soulsandhearts.com. Thank you for joining us, Doctor.
Hey, great to be here.
So, a big personal favorite of mine, I saw this this incredible article you wrote on your site about St. Augustine's Confessions and the psychological depth involved. And you're just the person to help us dive deep into this. So St. Augustine famously speaks of having two wills in conflict within himself. So from a psychological perspective, how might this relate to what you have explained about the inner self or the conflict within?
Yeah, I love what St. Augustine says in his Confessions. It's so beautiful. I had read the Confessions when I was quite young, and loved it. But reading it again from the psychological perspective, especially from an internal family systems perspective, it kind of blew my mind.
Really?
Yeah. So the way that he talks about his struggle, I think it's in chapter 6 and 7, his struggle to give up all of his lusts or his past ways, what have you, is just so rich. It is so describes the inner conflict that most people, have today. And so at that point, he had already decided in the truth of Christianity. Mm-hmm. So he was intellectually convinced, but he didn't want to let go of the pleasures of life that he had been enjoying.
Yeah.
And he's literally talks about it like he's in chains. It's so brilliant.
One of my favorite lines, and I think a lot of people love this line, is God grant me chastity, but not yet.
Right.
And then his famous line, you've made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. And isn't that a reminder that sometimes the best prayer is, Lord, help me be willing to be willing.
Well, yeah, he describes how he's torn. There is a part of him that is willing and that wants desperately and sees the truth in it. And another part just keeps holding on to it. Mm-hmm. And we know that we hold on to things that are unhealthy because we deeply believe inside that we need it to survive.
Mm.
It's not true, right? It is a lie, but it's deeply held by some part of ourselves. And St. Augustine he describes that in his own inner life so beautifully.
How would this potentially connect with our modern understanding of addiction and compulsive behavior?
Yeah. I mean, I think he does describe what I would call compulsion or an addiction that he's struggling with because he, on one hand, you want to stop and then you can't stop, right? So there's something that is sort of overtaking him. And what I love about it is that from an internal family systems perspective, we see the addiction as being a coping mechanism, that there's a part of the self system that is coping with preventing overwhelming feelings from overwhelming the system. So they're coping to prevent that overwhelm.
Yeah.
And so it becomes an ingrained habit, but it's more than just a habit. It's actually a survival need, or at least that's how it's perceived inside. And that's why the system won't let go. And Augustine walks through that process. And what I love really about the way that he describes that process is that he goes inward and looks inside himself, and he has this beautiful imagery to describe that process. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we're doing in internal family systems,
which is the kind of counseling you specialize in.
Yes.
Right. So what you have here is someone who has this internal fragmentation, right? And so let's say you're working with somebody who's struggling something similar. Now, I'm assuming you might point them towards resources that can help people if it's a true addiction with whatever that compulsive behavior is, because certainly there's some wonderful 12-step resources and faith-based resources out there. But in terms of the work you would do, how would you have them try to address that internal disturbance and kind of fragmentation?
Yeah, well, it's all about helping a person be able to look inside and make a connection with their internal parts, mm-hmm. right? And to be able to access that inner self or that inmost self, as I would say. Mm-hmm. And so when you encounter the part that is compulsively needing to do a certain unhealthy behavior, and you approach that with a certain love and compassion mm-hmm. and curiosity, and you want to understand it. So you're coming at your own self, a part of your own self, with curiosity and compassion. It's not that you agree. You're not agreeing with anything that part of you is wanting, but you're at least trying to understand it. And mm-hmm. you create relationship. It's like an internal relationship. That's why it's called internal family systems. You're connecting with the parts of yourself in order to show that you actually care, and you're trying to ally with it to at least begin by understanding, why is this part of me doing this? What is the good intention mm-hmm. underneath this problematic behavior?
Yeah.
And then once you can acknowledge that, oh, I get it. You're just trying to prevent me from being overwhelmed by shame or by pain, or you're just afraid.
Yeah.
Right? Then all of a sudden, you're connecting at this deep level within. And the part is then able, there's a possibility at least for that part to be able to soften.
Yeah.
And to start looking at other options. Like, hey, if we could prevent the shame and the overwhelm of fear, could we try something different?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And usually when you've connected with a part of the part, it's like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I would believe it at this point. But yeah, of course, I would go for that. Right.
Yeah.
And as long as you got that much buy-in, okay, let's go with it.
Yeah.
And we see that it's so cool. Like Augustine actually does kind of do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like when the figure of chastity shows up within his internal world, like as he's like in this sort of state of prayer or this state of meditation, whatever he's doing there under that fig tree, like chastity shows up as a figure and is like engaging with him.
Wow.
Right. So it's like a part of his system. I don't know if you could say that chastity is just a very self-led part, or if chastity somehow represents his innermost self. It's unclear. Can debate it a little bit, but because of course St. Augustine's not using internal family system psychological language directly, but it just seems like a self-led part that is engaging with him. And once engaged, what happens when he feels that love from that other part or from that inner self? He breaks down in tears. It cuts through that defense in a way, and he has this huge cathartic experience where he's just sobbing.
Wow.
And he's like, so you've reached it. You've gotten to the heart. You've met that exile. And you've connected with it in love.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole thing unfolds after that.
Wow. What role do you think grace plays in breaking these kinds of chains, as well as coupled with skilled counseling?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm kind of a Franciscan at heart, and maybe before that, an Augustinian at heart.
Yeah.
The doctor of grace. So everything's grace, ultimately.
Yeah.
So every movement, even toward God, any movement of waking up and realizing, oh man, my life is not what it should be, is a movement of grace, of God working in the soul.
Yeah.
Right? So, it's all grace in my opinion. Now we cooperate with that grace, right? I mean, on some level, what happens to Augustine, I think he couldn't ignore the grace. The grace was hitting him in the face. And so he had parts that were like, no, I don't want that grace. I don't want that truth. I don't want to have to change. I'm holding on for dear life. And the grace is going to be like, it's there. It's in front of me.
Yeah.
And so the process of like actually surrendering and being like, no, actually this grace, this love of God is what my heart and my soul desperately need, even though I was fighting it.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Crete, founder of Transfiguration Counseling. Check out his monthly series of spiritually and psychologically nourishing writings called The Kingdom Within, available on soulsandhearts.com. And if they want to learn more about your counseling services, where can they go?
To transfiguration.co.
Thank you.
finding joy in the journey. This is The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on your Atlanta Catholic Radio. AM 1160, The Quest.
And it's 8:55. I'm Josh Harris.
Of course you are.
Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure. And it has been a riveting hour with you. Man, isn't that cool? Dr. Crete unpacking the spiritual and psychological significance of St. Augustine on his feast day.
I know,
how about that for a happy coincidence?
Well, and truly how divine, too, because even having Immaculée on today, just she's been through so much. And, you know, with the shootings, I'm like, the Lord totally orchestrated this show beautifully on prayer and how we can, you know, lean on him to go through these things. So between St. Augustine, between Immaculée, and it's just been divine.
And a little bit about her story. I mean, wasn't she in a 3x4
yes.
room hiding with, like, I don't know how many, a lot of women, like, stuffed in there during a genocide. And she was there for weeks?
Yeah. Well, she was there for a long time in prayer. So the key is, no matter what's happening, prayer. And what a great retreat that's going to be.
Yeah.
We'll have the link again, of course, to her retreat, and then the link to her website too, where you can get more information if you're not familiar with Immaculée. So
yeah, and I mean, I think she lost her entire family during that genocide, and yet here this person emerges spiritually triumphant, and now is helping so many people. I mean, you heard what she said, that someone went to one of her retreats and said, "I'm not having an abortion."
Yes,
now.
Yes. No, I know. So what an opportunity to encounter some profound prayer.
And a relevant time to hear that message from a testimony from someone who went through unspeakable horror and tragedy.
Yeah.
And yet God is using it to evangelize the world.
Absolutely. And the joy is so beautiful that just shines through her. Oh,
absolutely. And I think that was, for me, so powerful when she said she was in absolute misery in those conditions. And when she turned to prayer, she changed.
It changed. Prayer does it all.
Prayer changes things, as they say. Well, we are so looking forward to hanging out with you tomorrow. It's going to be action-packed. And by the way, I'll be saying bye-bye tomorrow.
You sure will.
As I go to Rome,
I already
Italy.
Miss you, Josh.
Miss you, too. Glory be to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.